I know that we would all say this, but God's word is absolutely amazing, is it not? It is so amazing. People talk about the power of the word of God, and we know that, to me, you know, here I used to be a nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare specialist in the military, work with nuclear weapons and things like that, and people talk about, hey, it's the most powerful weapon in all the world, and I said, not so quick, Skippy. I know something a little bit more powerful. And they're like, what's that? And I said, for the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the hearts and of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen? God's word is the most powerful weapon on all of the face of the planet. And we can never take that for granted. But let me ask you a question. How much of God's word do you hide in your heart? See, the Bible makes it very clear that we're to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. But can I tell you, it's not just that we might not sin against God. It's that we can have God's word at our disposal at any minute in time that we need it. Have you ever been in a situation to where all of a sudden you went to go say something to somebody and you went to quote a verse and all of a sudden you went, duh. Have you been there? And the verse just doesn't come to your mind, or from that standpoint, then you feel like, oh man, I just wish I had my Bible with me. But I got to tell you, I'm going to ask you a question. How much are we, and I don't mean to be mean when I say this and ask this question, but I really want to ask you a question tonight. We're all family here, right? Am I family with you? Is it okay if I'm family tonight? How many of you are actively at this moment memorizing scripture of some way, shape, or form on a daily basis? How many? That's about the normal that I see in most churches. Can I ask you a question? Is that sad? Yeah, it is. Because, you know, think about this. When God tells us that we are to be memorizing the word of God and hiding that in our heart, he really meant that. I really believe he meant that. But here's something that really kick-started it in my life and why this became an issue. Because back several years ago, I got saved in 1986. I was a lieutenant over in Germany. And in the process of going to a revival meeting, I got saved at this revival meeting. And I'm going to tell you what, one of the things that happened, not only the fact that I knew that I'd gotten saved and I was excited about the Lord, but man, I was zealous to tell people about God. I mean, I just wanted to tell people all the time, man, you know, hey, let me tell you who I met. I met Jesus, and I just was on fire. I remember there was a time that I was out on a field training exercise out in Germany, and back then we had Jeeps. And I was out there in the woods and things of that nature, and I was talking to this young soldier about Jesus Christ. And there I was, I had my Bible open on the front of the hood of the Jeep and everything, and I was going through these verses that I had marked in my Bible so that I could tell him, here's the next verse and here's the next verse. And all of a sudden, something strange happened. The sun went down. And as soon as the sun went down, my first inclination was grab my flashlight and turn on the flashlight. But in the military, you folks know this. No. You don't turn on a flashlight out in the middle of the night. The enemy can see you from miles away, and you become a target. And somebody said, shut that light off! And I did. But then all of a sudden, there was a problem. I didn't know the rest of the verses to talk to this soldier about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what it did. It moved me. It bothered me so greatly. I said to the Lord, I'll never let that happen again, Lord. That's not going to happen again. So I made it a point to where I was going to memorize as many verses as I possibly could, not only just about the gospel, but just to try to continually hide God's word in my heart. I still do this to this day. I went out and got my Bible. This is just a stack of index cards that I carry with me on a regular basis. There's about three of these of different sizes. And I try to go through at least 20 or 30 verses a day just to keep my mind focused on the aspect of hiding God's word in my heart. Folks, I would just encourage you to do so. And I don't care how old you are. You say, Brother Willis, I just can't continue to memorize at my age the way that I used to. Then start Start with little things, but just get busy in memorizing the Word of God on a daily basis. Amen? We've got to do that. There may be a time to where all of a sudden, you're just not only do you not have your Bible, I mean, you may be to the point where even if you had your Bible, maybe you couldn't read it for some reason. Things of that nature from that standpoint. You know, I had even got to the point to where during our men's Bible study some time ago, I was just really trying to challenge our guys, you know, please take the time at least on a regular basis to at least some verses. You know, I already said this. I don't know what kind of trial you're going through or what you may go through from that standpoint, but I'm just going to give you the bottom line up front. Shorten this up a little bit. We just had this thing called COVID, remember? It's just been in our rear view mirror just a few months. And by the grace of God, I think we're coming out from underneath that cloud. I don't know. Maybe we'll go back underneath that cloud again. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychic. I have no idea. But I will tell you this. It was brutal. It was real. You know, there's a lot of debate as far as, well, it's just the common cold. No, it wasn't just the common cold. This was something that was pretty nasty. And I can tell you by the fact that it took a lot of lives. Yes, I know that other people were sick with things like, you know, from things of that nature, but if your body was already compromised in any way, it took you down quick. It killed brother my father-in-law Jerry, I mean, within about a week of when he contracted it because of his Parkinson's that he had, and his body was already compromised. You know, my mother died. She had COVID from that standpoint. Now, she did not die directly of COVID. She died of depression because of COVID. There's all these different side effects and things that affect people. But I can tell you this. I missed the first wave of COVID, but I got it the second time, basically in July of 2021. So, you know, I was here in March, went home. I'd been fine. I'd been traveling. All of a sudden, I started feeling a little down about the first week in July, and I couldn't figure out what it was. Then all of a sudden, one of my kids, they came back from camp or something like that, and they tested positive. And I thought, oh, no. Because the first thing that went through my mind was Caitlin, our daughter. I thought, man, if she gets this, this is bad. And we tried to do some stuff quarantine. Too late. It spread through our family like wildfire. It went through every single person in my family except for one, Micah, and because he had had it when he was at school, you know, just a few months later and didn't get it. But I'm going to tell you what, it was brutal. And when I got it in July, I was down basically for 3 weeks. And it hit so hard in my family that my wife went down, and within probably just a couple of days, her oxygen level dropped so low that they finally ended up having to come and take her by ambulance to the hospital. And she was in the hospital for well over a week. My mother-in-law, Charlotte, she was taken to the hospital like the next day. Grandpa Jerry was taken like within a couple of days, and he did not come back. But I'm telling you, this whole time, where were you? I was laying on a couch back in our bedroom back there for days at a time. I had hardly no idea what was even going on. Finally, by the time that my oxygen level had gotten so low, they took me to the emergency room, and it was so bad I could hardly even walk. My son was literally holding me up as I was gone. And I told you this morning that it was so bad, I literally thought, I'm dead. I'm not going to survive this from that standpoint. But by the grace of God, we did. But when I was down so badly, and they said, what'd you do? I couldn't do anything. The headaches were so bad. Anybody have it with the headaches that they were excruciating? I was on drugs like all the time from that standpoint. You say, how did you do your devotions? Devotions? I was just focused on trying to live. Amen. But all of a sudden, even in the midst of that, I called out to God and I said, Lord, help me. You know, this is really tough. This is one of the toughest things I've ever gone through. And all of a sudden, here's the thing that happened. All these verses that I had been memorizing just flooded my soul. And the thing that literally kept me going from day to day, I would just lay there on that bed and I would try to sing or hum songs and I would just recite scripture as much as I possibly could. And I do remember this. There was one verse that finally, just as I got a hold of this verse and I remembered it from that standpoint, it was literally the thing that just turns things around. And it was this verse right here, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. You know, from the standpoint of, for my grace is sufficient. Real quick here from that standpoint. You know, here's an interesting thing. You know, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this. But here's the thing. We know that this is the fact that Paul was going through some type of infirmity, right? And we know that that was the case. But do you know that the Bible never tells us specifically what that infirmity was? Did you realize that? I always wondered about that. I thought, Lord, why didn't you tell us specifically what it was that Paul was dealing with? And you know, now and looking back, I say, Lord, thank you for not telling me. Because I would be to the point of thinking, well, you know, God's grace is only sufficient when you have this type of tribulation, if he told us what it was. Are you following me? But I'm so grateful that he didn't, because then I'm able to say generically that God's grace is sufficient in any tribulation. God's grace is sufficient in any infirmity. Amen?
Amen.
And we can have the same application. What else do you see about this verse that's interesting? A couple of things here. First of all, I wanted to see here how personal it was to Paul. You know, Paul has this infirmity and he cries out to God and he says, God, would you please take this infirmity from me? He called out to God three times. God, please take this. Please take this. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to take it, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for you personally. And I thought about that as I was reading that and how we come to the conclusion of this. I'm so glad that God made it specifically personal to Paul. And when he did, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I came back and I realized, I thought, you know what? Even in the midst of this COVID and all of these things, God's grace is sufficient for Joe Willis today, right now, at this moment. And all I had to do is to just be mindful of that, to cry out to God and be mindful of the fact that I serve a very personal God who loves me personally, who takes care of me personally, who's interested in me personally. And even though when nobody else may be around or see what we're going through, and even though you may have some kind of tribulation that absolutely nobody knows what's going on in your life, God knows. And he sees it. And he's right there with you, personally. And we can call out to God and say, God, I need you today, personally. And you know what he says? My grace is sufficient for thee. So not only is it the aspect of it's personal, we also know that he says it's sufficient for you. I'm so glad that he didn't say, hey, you know, again, he said to Paul, it's sufficient for you, but I take that verse and I make it personal for me, that it wasn't just sufficient for Paul. God's grace is bigger than just one person. It's not just sufficient for Paul. It's sufficient for every single one of us as children of God who cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. I know this is very simplistic, but folks, listen, sometimes it's those simple things that we just need to be reminded of to say, you know what? I need that. I need that today. And now I thought here was an interesting thing too. You know, instead of removing this thorn from Paul, God would keep giving him this grace. And the grace that God gave to Paul was sufficient to meet every need. Paul was desperate in his desire to find relief from this burden. But you know, I found that there's two ways that we can find relief from our burdens. Here's one, that God might actually remove the load or remove the burden. That's one way. Sometimes I think that's the way that we pray. Lord, would you please just remove this burden from me? I'm going through this trial. Would you remove it? And God says, okay, I will. That's one way that he takes care of it and removes the burden. Here's another way that he deals with the burden. He says, I'm not going to remove the burden, but I'm going to give you the shoulders to bear the burden. And oh, by the way, here's something that you need to take into consideration. Here's a theological nugget to hang on. It's not your shoulders. It's not your shoulders that's bearing the load. Amen? It's God's shoulders that are bearing the load. And he's doing it for us. He says, not only am I going to give you the grace, but I'm going to give you the shoulders to bear it up, to go through this, so that it's sufficient to help you in this process or in this trial or in this whatever it is that you're going through. And at that, all anything I can say is, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, and you know this is true. Why does God allow us at times to bear the burden? Because he knows that bearing the burden is the best thing for us. It's the thing that's going to help us to grow. It's the thing that's going to give us patience, like we talked about this morning, and the aspect of giving us that experience or building character or building strength or building forbearance. And God says, you would have never got to that point if it wasn't for the fact that you carry the burden, or that I carry the burden with you, and my grace is sufficient for you. And again, I say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. So we see that that was the case. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. That aspect of grace, we already know this, is God's divine assistance given to humans for either the regeneration or rebirth, or even sanctification in our walk along with God. You know, the faith that we put in Jesus Christ to save us is the same faith that we exercise on a daily basis to be able to walk with him. And can I help you with something? That same grace that God gave in order to save our souls, for by grace are you saved through faith, that same grace that God gave us to be able to be saved is the same grace that we just depend on day by day to be able to live for God. Amen? I know that's very basic, but boy, we need to stop and just make sure we're grabbing hold of that on a daily basis. Why am I able to do anything for God? Simply by the grace of God. Why am I able to respond to somebody who just absolutely hates me and despises me and says all kinds of negative things about me and abuses me and all these things? How can I do that? Only by the grace of God. How can I get through these trials and these things that just make absolutely no sense? I can't even explain them to people. And it's only simply by God's grace. God's grace is there for us right now at this very moment. And it is sufficient, which is how I entitled this message. It is enough. That word sufficient there literally just means it is enough. Be content with the fact of knowing that God's grace is enough. Right when we need it, at the right time, at the right place, it's right there ready for us when we need it. So it is sufficient from that standpoint. But he goes on with this verse and he says this, which to me, I read this verse and I thought, man, what an oxymoron. Two things together just seem to make no sense when he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Have you looked at that verse and go, that doesn't make any sense? You know, from a human standpoint, that makes no, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, what are you talking about? But when I look at it from God's perspective, it makes all the sense in the world. See, what God is saying this is this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Wait a second. Whose weakness? Our weakness, our feeble attempts, our efforts to try to overcome. Hey, we live in a society today that I don't know how many times, if I had a nickel every time I heard this in the military, I would be a millionaire today. That I heard the term over and over again, something that said this, just man up. Anybody ever hear that before? Just man up. Just man up. You know what? I'm glad God doesn't look at me and say, hey, Joe Willis, just man up. Because you know what I figured? You know what I found out? I can't. I cannot, in any of my feeble attempts, do anything that brings glory and honor unto God in my own strength. Amen? I can't fix the problems of this world. I can't even fix the problems in my own life. If it were not for the grace of God, where would I be? I can't do it. And that's exactly what God says. I know you can't. I know you can't. That's what I've been trying to tell you. It's the same thing as asking this question, can you save yourself? And the answer is, well, no, I can't save myself. I mean, I know that's theologically true. No, I can't save myself. Then can you continue to sanctify yourself, if there is such a word like that? And the answer is, well, no. If I couldn't save myself, then why all of a sudden am I now trying to act as though I can be super Christian in and of my own strength? It doesn't work. And sometimes God allows some tribulation and trials into our lives just to help to show us that it doesn't work. And to help us to understand one simple question, where is my dependence? Is that good? Where's my dependence today? God, my dependence is only in you and you alone to get me through whatever. And that's why he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. Here's just an interesting thing when he says, for my strength is made perfect. This word perfect, the word strength there, is that literally the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite? It's interesting because this word is repeated twice in this same verse in different places. Just like the word weakness, infirmity, if you look at the whole verse and you see that my strength is made perfect in weakness, and down later in my infirmities, it's the exact same word. Weakness and infirmity, same word. The word strength there is the same word. It's almost like it's a play on word with Paul there. But apart from all of that, he just comes back and says, what is sufficient? My grace is sufficient for thee. This aspect of sufficient just literally means it is enough, or to be content. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory. When he says, my strength is made perfect, this is an interesting word, the word perfect here. It gives the idea of not only is it just complete, but it's a goal that has been accomplished. Are you with me? My strength is made perfect. It's a goal that has been accomplished. Let me help you here, okay? Just to give you, make sure you get this, and you'll never forget it, okay? How many of you, anybody here like soccer? Okay? Anybody here like Brazil? Anybody here like the soccer team of Brazil? Okay, I'm doing this just for you, brother, okay? All right? So here we go. Now, do you remember there was this guy that he was on the radio all the time? And any time that you had this soccer guy or Pele or whoever, I don't know who he was, but I'm not a soccer player. But anytime you had this guy kick this goal, you'd have this announcer and he would go something like this. And he's getting ready and he's going to shoot. And he shoots and he goes, goal! Oh! Oh! Do you remember that guy? Anybody ever heard him? Some of you are going, no, and I don't want to. But every time their team would score a goal, he would do that, and he would go on for like minutes with the word goal. You with me? That's the word complete. My strength is made perfect. There you go. That's the word perfect right there. God says, goal, 15 minutes long, scored for you. My strength is made perfect. The goal has been settled, done. I don't know about you, but I go, thank you, God. I don't even have to worry about it now. That goal's been scored. It's done. In God's eyes, that grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect. It's done. I don't even have to worry about it anymore. And you know, that's exactly where I was as I was laying there in that bed with COVID. And I got to thinking about this. And I all of a sudden, there was this peace that came over me that says, you know what? It's okay. If I die, I just go to be with the Lord. But if I don't, he's going to heal me. But regardless, it's all in God's hands and it's okay. Goal scored. It's okay. And you know what it helped me to do? Just like Paul. Therefore will I glory in my infirmities. Do you realize what happened there with Paul? God, take this from me. God, take this from me. God, take this from me. And God said, no, I'm not. But my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul grabs hold of that nugget of truth and understands what it really means. And as soon as he understands what it means, he goes, okay. Well, I guess you're not going to take away the infirmity. Okay, well, what am I going to do now? Here's what Paul says. I'm going to rejoice. What? Yeah. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that I've got this infirmity. Why? Why could Paul say that? Because if you finish out the rest of the verse here, he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities. Here's why. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That word power and the word strength is the exact same word in that verse. Here's why Paul said he could glory. Grab hold of this. Ready? He said, I'm able to glory. I'm able to rejoice in the fact that I even have this infirmity. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Think about what he's saying here. If I could paint you a picture that would help you to remember this for the rest of your life, here's the picture. That word rest in the Greek is the idea of the word where we get the same word tabernacle. Now, if I were to change that and say that the power of Christ may tabernacle upon me, does that give you any type of mental stimulation here to go, wait a second, wait. I know about the tabernacle. It's in the Old Testament. And that's where God was told, that's where Moses was told by God to create, you know, the tent out in the desert. And he would provide the furniture and the sacrifices. And we'd have the mercy seat and all these things. And man, it was glorious. Can you just imagine for a second what that would have been like? And even Solomon's temple, when in all of its glory, how all the furniture and all the things that was in there, and the people would come from all over the world to see the temple. But that isn't even half of the importance of the tabernacle, because that tabernacle was nothing until something happened at the end. What happened at the end? The moment that the tabernacle was finished and they sacrificed the animals unto God, and they put the blood on the mercy seat, all of a sudden, somebody showed up. Remember who it was? God showed up. And he showed up in the Shekinah cloud of glory. And when he did, it was so amazing that the people couldn't even not only not be in the tabernacle, but they couldn't even be near it. And anybody who was near it, like Moses, it was evident that he would have been with God, because all of a sudden his face shone with the glory of God. Folks, listen, that's exactly the same idea. That when you say that the power of Christ may tabernacle with me, I'm going to tell you, that just flooded my soul with peace like you wouldn't believe, from the standpoint of saying, God's not only just here, he is here in all of his power and all of his glory. Yes, I am sick. I am so sick, I feel like I could die. And I will tell you this, I call out to God and say, God, take this away. And here from the standpoint, he says, but my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect. What are you going to do, Joe Willis? I know what I can do. I can give glory to God and say, God, I don't like it, but thank you. Thank you. You know what? That has a tendency of changing our whole perspective about the tribulation and trial that we're going through, doesn't it? Question. When's the last time that you were able to say, thank you, God, for this trial that I'm going through? Thank you, Lord, for this burden. Somebody asked me years ago about my daughter, Caitlin, and said, you know, man, that must be really tough to take care of a severely handicapped daughter the way that you guys take care of her. You know, that's got to be a tremendous burden on your family. I stopped and went, whoa, time out, what? I don't know that I've ever thought about it in terms of a burden. Is it hard? Yeah. But is it a quote-unquote burden? I can tell you this. God never gave Mrs. Willis and I anything that we couldn't handle by the grace of God. Hey, I look at it from this way. He specifically gave us that young lady. And he's now given us that young lady for 27 years to be able to pour our lives into, to be able to care for her, to be, and I will tell you this, it's tough, but I know this. But even in all of it, God's grace is sufficient. And even though he chose never to take that infirmity or sickness away from Caitlin anyway, or to even heal her, I can tell you this, every single day, God's grace is sufficient. And there came a time to where I had to stop and think about this. God, can I thank you? Can I thank you that Caitlin is the way that she is? And the moment that I settled that in my mind, Lord, thank you. You know, here's something to keep in mind. You know, sometimes I have to think and ask, who's the normal one here? Maybe Caitlin's actually the normal one. And maybe we're all the abnormal ones. But there is going to come a day to where when she passes, and we all pass, there's going to be a time in our lives to where all of a sudden I'm going to have this young lady come up, wrap her arms around me, come running up, and say, Dad, I love you. I'm waiting for that day. But until then, I say, God, your grace is sufficient. And it can help me and my family to get through whatever we need to get through. And therefore, I can glory in the fact of saying, hey, I will therefore glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may tabernacle in me. Are you there? That's the kind of grace that God has for each one of us today. There doesn't need to be, I understand that there are some infirmities, they're hard. There's some abuses, they're tough. But I know this, I serve a great big God. I have a great big daddy in heaven, amen? Who loves me and cares for me and says, my grace is there for you, Joe Willis. Even in the biggest of trials. Are you there? Is that who your daddy is? Is that who your Lord is? Is that what you're resting in today, even in the midst of the trials? I don't know where you're at, but I know this. We need to get to the point to where we get serious and busy about this memorizing of God's word. I'm just going to hammer that home one more time, okay? We really need to be hiding God's word in our heart. Amen? And if nothing else, I hope that this has been a challenge to you tonight to say, you know what? I'm going to start at least just one verse, maybe a verse a week or whatever, just so I can start putting God's word in my heart. You never know how God may use that to impact your life or maybe the life of somebody else with you. It's an amazing thing when all of a sudden somebody walks up and asks you a question and says, hey, does the Bible have anything to say about? And you say, yes, actually it does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, it's not to show off how smart you are about the Bible. It's to be able to be one of those things that is the hope of the answer that lieth within us, folks. What is that hope that lieth within us? It's not just the aspect of the salvation. It's the fact that we are walking with God on a daily basis. And we have the answers of that hope. And the only thing I've ever found is the answers, they don't come from Joe Willis. The answers come from God. And we have them right here. And we just need to be able to put them from here to right here so that when we need them, they're readily available. I close with this thought from this standpoint. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I just know this. God's grace is sufficient for you. And I just pray that you would just take that to heart to say, I know that. I already know that. But there's a difference between knowing it and depending on it. Amen. There's a big difference. And once you find out that, hey, I depend upon that, for my life, then the power of Christ can rest right there upon us. I cut it right there from that standpoint, that we can give glory unto God of knowing that His grace is sufficient for all that we need. Father, we thank You for this time. We praise You in just this quick, mindful thought that You indeed are there for us all the time, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the situation, regardless of how difficult it may be, that You're always there with us. And that grace that You gave us, how powerful is that grace? Lord, You've reminded us that grace is not only powerful enough to save a soul from the kingdom of hell, to put them in the kingdom of God, but that grace is also powerful enough to help us in any type of tribulation or trial that we're going through. And that is one powerful weapon. And we thank You for it, Lord, that it's right there at our fingertips, right there to be used on a daily basis for doing whatever You would have us to do. We love You. We praise You. We thank You. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You've been so much so attentive. Thank you so much. God bless you. You guys have a great Memorial Day. We won't have an invitation tonight, but I just want to say thank you, and you are dismissed. God bless you.